We'll continue with the story of Joseph. Genesis chapter 37. I'd like to just remind you that in the Bible, sometimes it refers to Jacob alternatively as Israel, because Israel is Jacob's covenant name. And so you see it here, but you'll recall that when Jacob wrestled with the angel, God blessed him as he asked and changed his name to Israel. And so it turned from being Jacob, meaning sort of deceiver, manipulator, to a prince, or God blesses them and God blesses. So listen to these words from Genesis chapter 37, verses 12 and following, as we continue the story of Joseph. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here am I." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields, and the man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I'm seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." The man said, "They have gone away, for I've heard, let us go to Dothan." So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here now comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into the pit there in the wilderness, but no lay hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to the father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe and the long robe with sleeves of many colors that he wore. And they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty and there was no water in it. They sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin on their way down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. And some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. So they took Joseph to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes. He returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone, and I, where can I turn?" Then they took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in blood. They had the robe with many colors and sleeves taken to the father and said, "This we have found. See now whether it is your son's robe or not." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. A wild animal has devoured him and torn him to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned his son for many days. All his sons and his daughters sought to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol with my son mourning." Thus his father bewailed him. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. This morning I want to continue the series on following your dreams, and the story of Joseph is one of the most incredible stories in the ancient world. I heard Cyrus Gordon once say, he was a great linguist scholar of the ancient world and one of the translators of many languages, and he said that the story of Joseph is the single greatest piece of literature in the ancient world on a literary basis up until the Odyssey and the Iliad. He said it's that good on a literary piece, and of course there's religious truths that are there and historical truths as well. And so last week we talked about following your dreams, and this week we're going to look at enduring trials and temptations in life as we face those. But first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this pastor who parked in a no parking zone of a large city, and he wrote a note on his windshield that said this. He said, "Officer, I circled this block 10 times and couldn't find a parking place. If I don't park here, I'll be late for my meeting." And then in large letters he put, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive others." He came back an hour later and there was a parking ticket on his windshield, and there was a note clipped to it, and it said this. It said, "Dear Pastor, I've been circling this block now for the last 10 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I could lose my job." And then in big letters he wrote, "Lead us not into temptation." You know, in life, we all face some trials and temptations, and so it is with following our dreams. And this morning, I want to think about that. Now, this is such a great story, and we think sometimes it's just about Joseph following his dreams, but I think it's a good sort of blueprint for us as we follow our dreams in life. And last week we talked about that God wants us to succeed with dreams. I mean, sometimes people think, well, God wants to press me down from following my dreams and accomplishing great things, but I think just the opposite is true. We see many times in the Bible that God has given us the seeds of greatness and gifts and talents and blessed us with life itself. And God is honored when we aspire to great dreams and pursue dreams that would honor God and serve others and use our gifts and talents for God. And we see that in Joseph. And the first thing, though, when you think about Joseph and following his dreams, and his father, of course, had a special place in his heart for Joseph. He had him when he's up in years, and so he favored him. And then he made Joseph this coat of many colors. Now, in the translation of the NRSV, it says a coat with sleeves. Now, I don't know where they got a coat with sleeves, but the Hebrew word is pas, and they think it's multicolored. It's been a long tradition of that. But there are a lot of hieroglyphics in Egypt of people with multicolored coats, and it looks like that's a sign of great prestige and wealth. You can imagine it takes more money. And so we think of this coat that his father made him that was just beautiful, and it spoke of his brothers, that his father favored him even more, and his brothers were jealous. And I don't know if there's anyone out there, we talk about being jealous of other people's gifts and talents. I mean, how many people have been jealous of a sibling, a brother or a sister, and they have talents and you wish you had those talents? And if not a brother or sister, then maybe someone who's a close friend and you sort of aspire to those dreams. And I said before, you know, when you think about your gifts and talents, you sometimes take inventory. You always want someone else's gifts. And I said, you know, I'd love to be able to sing like Elvis or even dance like Elvis, frankly, and play the guitar like Santana. But we have to sort of take our own gifts and talents and aspire to dreams that honor God from the gifts and talents that God has given us. And so Joseph's brothers were so angry and jealous at Joseph. And you see signs of the father's favoritism in this story, too, because the 11 brothers are out working hard with the flocks, grazing them. And in fact, they couldn't find good grazing land in one area, and so they had to move them to a different pasture land. And where's Joseph? Well, Joseph is at home with his father. You know, so that's a sign wave. You could probably understand the brothers were jealous about that. And so Joseph's father comes to him and asks him to go and check on his brothers, see what they're doing. Maybe he gave them some food and what have you. And so Joseph goes on his way, and he looks in one spot where they're supposed to be, and they weren't there, and then he goes to another spot where he's directed to, and as he's a long ways off, this seed of jealousy of his brothers begins to work in their lives, and the jealousy produces anger, and the anger produces hatred, as sometimes it does in people's lives, and they begin to plot to kill him when he's still a long ways off, and so they're going to kill him and throw him into this pit or cistern. Now, in that part of the country, there's rain is much rarer than it is here, and so sometimes there's these natural areas of rock that have been hewn out, and they form a natural pit, and they're relatively clean, and so they fill up with water. But when there's been a long time of drought or without rain, then those dry up, and so there's one nearby, and they say, we're going to kill him and throw him in this pit. And Reuben, his brother, intervenes and said, no, don't do that. Just don't kill him. Just throw him into the pit. That'll be difficult enough for him. And he plots that he's going to come back later and rescue him. Meanwhile, they throw him into the pit. Reuben leaves for something, and the brothers see this caravan of traders. Now, we know that there are regular trade routes through that part of the ancient Near East, back and forth down to Egypt, which is one of the sort of the center of trade and commerce and power of that day. And they see this group coming, and they decide they'd sell them to this. Now, can you imagine the jealousy that someone would have to have in order to sell their own brother or sister to traders, to slave traders? And so Joseph is sold to these slave traders, and who were traders, and they enslaved was one of the things that they dealt with. And then Reuben comes back, and he looks in the pit, and he's not there, and he cries out in grief, and his brother explained what they did, and then they decide to take his coat that they've taken from him, a symbol of his father's love, and to tear it to pieces, and to kill a goat, and to dip it in blood, and then they take that coat of many colors that symbolize favoritism and beauty, and show it to his father, and his father's broken because he comes to the natural conclusion that his son has been killed by a wild animal. You think about this story, and it's just, it's beautiful, but it's also tragic, isn't it? And whatever you think about Joseph, and maybe he'd been a little bit immature with the dream and the way he handled that dream, but to incite that kind of jealousy and that kind of anger and even hatred, that his brothers would be willing to kill him, and then the tragedy of the father's heart being broken, and you think about dreams for a moment. And sometimes when you think about dreams and it's a good dream and it does good things and it uses our gifts and talents, you think, well, following the dream would be easy. Realizing the dream would be easy. But you know, the fact of the matter is that great dreams come only at a great price. And so it was with Joseph. And he had to face trials and temptation. And I'm sure this is beyond anything that he could have ever imagined as he sort of walked down towards his brothers that day, that they were conspiring to him. And of all things, to be sold into slavery. And what was Joseph thinking as he was sort of probably in shackles or chains or maybe even sort of in a wooden pan of some sort on this wagon on the way down to Egypt in the hot sun, and how his heart must have been broken by how his brothers were so jealous and hated him so. And then he had to maybe think about the dream that he had and what had become of that dream. Listen to these words from James again that Lloyd read from chapter 1. About the difficulty we sometimes have to face as we face trials. And James writes to a church in persecution, and he says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because in having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Word has promised to those who love him." James is saying, listen, you know, God sometimes works through the trials and adversity and challenges that we face in life that are part of the natural process of life. And when you aspire to great things, either as a church or as an individual, sometimes we have to face difficult adversity. He sort of picks up the imagery in a chapter or so into James's writing, where he uses the imagery of trials and challenges and adversity that we face like a refiner's fire that purifies our life. And our lives are like precious metals, like gold or silver, that God is using to heat up through trials and adversity and to purify and to refine and to strengthen us. And that's what he was doing in Joseph's life. And dreams come at a great price. And when you think about that in our life, and James uses the imagery, he uses the words mature and complete when our lives have been refined by the fire. And the word mature there has the Greek word telos in it that we get telescope from. And he's saying really, you know, be mature means to be complete in the process. And sometimes that's used as the word, the root word for goal as well. And so like a telescope that looks long in the distance, God is working in our life with a long-term plan that we would be fully mature and our lives fully complete so we can realize our dreams. And so sometimes as we face difficulties and adversity and trials in life, know that God is working in our life like God was working in Joseph's life. You realize that in that activity, in the trials that was happening, Joseph was being refined and being taken from this immature young man to a person who would be the number two person in all of Egypt during one of his most difficult and adverse times. Psalm 37 says this: "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in God, and he will do this. God will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the new day sun." You know, as we face adversity and challenge and difficulty, we have to trust God that God is going to bring to pass the dreams that God has birthed in our hearts and minds. And sometimes as we face those difficulties, there's nothing we can do. But the psalmist is saying, listen, if you delight yourself in the Lord, if you put God first place in your life, then God will make the justice of your cause shine like the new day sun. And God will bring it to pass. Just trust in him. Philip Yancey in the Men's Study Bible writes this nice piece on Joseph, and he says this in sort of a reflection. He said, "If anyone had a valid reason to be disappointed in God, it was Joseph, whose valiant stabs at goodness brought him nothing but trouble. He interpreted a dream to his brother, and they threw him in a cistern. He resisted a sexual advance and landed up in an Egyptian prison. There he interpreted another dream to save a cellmate's life, and the cellmate promptly forgot about him. I wonder, as Joseph languished for his virtue in an Egyptian dungeon, did question like, 'Is God unfair, silent, or hidden?' occur to him? But it was precisely those difficulties that strengthened and molded Joseph to move from spoiled brat to the second in command of all of Egypt." It's true, isn't it? I mean, Joseph had a dream that was given by God, but Joseph probably didn't need to taunt his brothers or to make his brothers jealous in that way. And sometimes we have a dream that's great, but we handle it in a mature way. But God can use the trials and challenges and adversity in our life to make us mature and complete, like James is indicating, and refine us and make us stronger. So as we face trials, we need to trust God and persevere. And the second thing, we need to sometimes face temptations in life. And if you pick up the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 39, Joseph has been sold into slavery as Potiphar's servant. Potiphar is the captain of the guard in Egypt. And Joseph does well. He's persevering. He's hardworking. Now, a lot of us, when something unjust happens to us, something where we're wrong, we just barely get by. But Joseph took this opportunity and became hardworking. He had perseverance. And so he had some integrity. He rose to the top of Potiphar's household. But it also tells us that Joseph was very good looking and was built. Joseph was well-built. So he was a well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife took a liking to him, and she tried to seduce him. And Joseph could easily sort of gone that way, but Joseph had integrity, stand the test of temptation. And you would think maybe it would go well for Joseph, but again, things seemed to turn on him because Potiphar's wife is so upset about his sort of spurning her advances that she lies about him to her husband, Potiphar, and Potiphar is infuriated by that, and he throws Joseph into a prison, and there Joseph is locked up. You know, as we face temptations in life, God sort of shows us our character and builds us in that moment. James chapter 1 again says this in verse 13. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after the desire was conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. I mean, sometimes it's our own sort of seeds of humanity that draw us into temptation. Sometimes it's the seeds of others. But the truth is in life, as we pursue life and we pursue our dreams, that at some point in life, we're going to face some temptations. Now, this is time for the presidential race, and I guess everybody is running for both parties. But, you know, every life sort of gets put under the microscope at some point or another, and few of them sort of stand the litmus test of that. And we've seen so many people that have risen to high places of power, and yet because of the pressure of that power, all of a sudden buckled to temptation and trial and adversity, and their integrity didn't stand the test. And maybe what God was doing was precisely what James is saying, that God was taking Joseph from this immature 17-year-old to be a person prepared from the trials and temptations he faced so that he would have integrity. And think about it, as he was to become the number two person in all of Egypt in charge of the grain during a time of famine, how much he'd be tempted by bribery, by different individuals trying to manipulate him, or by money, and all the different kinds of the test of power that come his way. But because of him being refined and purified by temptations and trials, God was building him for the position that he had for him. As you and I face and follow our dreams and we face trials and temptations, you know, sometimes the same thing happens to us. We might not have a coat of many colors, but God blesses us with dreams and with the morning sunrise and the evening sunset, and God paints a day for us that we can work towards our dreams and use the gifts and talents we've been given to bless others. And as a church, too, we face the opportunity with life where we can either just sort of sit in the laurels of those in the past, or we can reach forward towards great dreams. And I know we're doing great things in Emmanuel now as we reach forward towards the future. But know that sometimes as we face trials and difficulties and temptations, that God is molding us, God is making us, God is building us for the future and making us stronger as individuals and as a community of faith and as families. I'm going to close with this story, and you may guess who this is. He was born into poverty. He faced with defeat throughout his life. He lost 8 elections, twice failed in business, and suffered a nervous breakdown. He could have quit many times, but he didn't. In 1816, his family was forced out of their home. He had to work to support them. In 1818, his mother died. In 1831, he failed in business. In 1832, he ran for state legislature and lost. In 1832, he lost his job, wanted to go to law school, but couldn't get in. In 1833, he borrowed some money from a friend to begin a business, and by the end of the year, he was bankrupt. He spent the next 17 years paying off that debt. In 1834, he ran for state legislature again, but this time, he won. In 1835, he was engaged to be married, but his sweetheart died, and his heart was broken. In 1836, he had a total nervous breakdown and was set in bed for 6 months. In 1838, he sought to become Speaker of the state legislature and was defeated. In 1840, he sought to become elected again and was defeated. In 1843, he ran for Congress and lost. In 1846, he ran for Congress again. This time, he won. He went to Washington and did a good job. But in 1848, he ran for re-election to Congress and lost. In 1849, he sought the job of land officer in his home state and was rejected. In 1854, he ran for the Senate of the United States and lost. In 1856, he sought the vice presidential nomination at his party's national convention and got less than 100 votes. In 1858, he ran for U.S. Senate again and lost. In 1860, he was elected President of the United States. You probably guessed it was Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln maybe was forged by those trials and temptations of all that he faced in life so that he would be the great leader that he was for this country during one of its most difficult chapters, which was our Civil War. He provided a kind of a healing and strength that, and even faith for us that helped us, got us through the most difficult storm that we've ever faced. In our own life, God sometimes uses those same trials and adversity, and sometimes even it may feel like a failure that we face, because God is refining us, God is strengthening us, God is building us and helping us become complete and mature that we could realize the dreams that are in our hearts. I challenge us to dream great dreams, but to realize in order to achieve those many times, as individuals and as a church, we have to face trials and temptations, but God is working through them. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we think about the gift of life that you've blessed us with, and sometimes we look at a story like this of Joseph and his coat and jealous brothers, and it just seems so distant. And yet, truth be told, the truths that are there ring true in our hearts today. We too sometimes have dreams, and we have the gift of life, and you've blessed us with the gift of life itself, that we could reach for great dreams that honor you and bless others, that we could use the dreams that we have to propel us forward, to use the gifts and talents you've blessed us with to honor you in tremendous ways. Yet along the way, we face jealousy from sometimes even within our own family or sometimes without. But certainly we face trial and adversity and temptation along the road of life. Help us to lift our eyes to the horizon. Lift our eyes to you. And know that you're working through all those things. Through the trials of life, if we trust in you, you will see us through. The trials of life, you work to purify and refine and strengthen us. And certainly along the way of life, we'll face temptations. Help us to have strength and integrity to do what's right. Let us know that you're strengthening us through the difficulties so that we may prove what is right with you and be stronger so we can stand for even bigger times in our life. And so today, as we think about this dream that was promised Joseph, we think about the sunrise and how it's painted for us each morning. The beauty and the wonder and grace, help us to see a promise there, like the promise of Joseph's father who gave him the coat of many colors. Help us to realize that each day is a gift from God to pursue great things that honor him and serve others. Help us to lead into your grace in times of trial and temptation, but know that your strength can see us through. And each evening after hard day's work and even trial and temptation, let us see the way that you paint the sunset as a way that you speak into our heart, the promise of the dreams coming true. Help us to rely on your grace and strength. Help us each day to serve you and know that you will see us through. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.